That image kind of stuck in my mind as I'm reading that. I imagine somebody coming in and suddenly throwing themselves on the floor in the middle of the aisle here. I mean, that would probably catch our attention. Certainly would mine. Just as a little refresher course in the way that the liturgy is put together, over the course of 3 years, we kind of read through, or 4 years, we read through the Bible pretty much. 3 years, thank you. This year, we're reading from the Gospel of Mark. Often Catholics take a hit because they say, well, you don't really know your scripture. Well, it's interesting that in the course of any one liturgy, we read from the Old Testament, we read from the Book of Psalms, we read from the letters of Paul, and we read from the Gospel every Sunday. We cover those four pieces of scripture, and we reflect on them, and we pray over them, and we look at them. For example, today, what we read, and this is the first chapter of the book of Mark, probably Mark was the first gospel written, probably 35 years after Jesus was crucified, about that. But they're pretty sure Mark was the first gospel of the four that we have. And what we're reading from today and what we've been reading from for the last few weeks is still from the first chapter. So as Mark's gospel opens, and we don't hear anything in Mark about Jesus' birth, that's in Luke and in Matthew. So Mark's gospel just opens and says, this is who Jesus is. And it proceeds to tell us. We have John the Baptist pointing out Jesus. We have Jesus' baptism in Mark. That has gone before. We have the calling of the first four disciples. So we have the establishment of Jesus and who Jesus is and what his ministry is to bring the good news. Then he calls together four of the 12 that are with him. And boom, what we have right now in this story of Jesus coming into the synagogue is the first time any of the gospel writers tell us what Jesus does, and he confronts evil in the synagogue. This is the first miracle, if you will, that we hear. So we have this story of this unclean spirit that shouts out at Jesus. And it's a story that happens in a sacred space. And I think that the gospel today really talks about two things. One is sacred space, and the other is authority. Now, the synagogues were a new deal at this point. Because if you remember, there was the temple in Jerusalem. And for 1,000 years, the Jewish people would worship in the temple. That's where they were. And today, just as a reminder, the Wailing Wall. If you ever see the folks nodding and putting the little, that's the western wall of the temple. That's all that remains. After about 70 AD, when the Romans came in and they had a rebellion, they tore it all down. So that's the only thing that remains. But historically, the Jewish people worshiped in the temple. You know, that would be sort of like the cathedral church in the Archdiocese of Toledo being the only church, and we would all go there if we were to worship. There wouldn't, and then when a church like this popped up, this would be a synagogue, and this is relatively new. It was a sacred space, but it was a space that not only had religious significance, but it had political and social significance as well. You know, churches today have more, I mean, it's a sacred space, but it's not quite the same. So when Jesus came into the sacred space and began to proclaim with authority and people saw him talking, it was more than just preaching a good homily in church. Okay, it was a lot farther reaching than that, if you will. But he came into that environment and he rocked their world. And I don't know if you've ever been insulted? Have you ever had somebody come into your house And can you imagine Jenny, right? She's in her house, and somebody coming in and saying, wow, you're really a messy housekeeper. This is the dirtiest friggin' house I've... Now, we know that wouldn't happen to anyone that's been to her house, but you can imagine what she would feel if somebody came in and said, this is a horrible house. This is really dirty. Or somebody coming to Steve and saying something nasty about his children or grandchildren. Well, you got a bunch of ugly jit grandchildren. What? They come from the shallow end of the gene pool? You know, what's the deal? I mean, you get that kind of stuff, right? If somebody were to say that, it would be a real... You're not going to win friends and influence people. So you've got the scribes, right? And this synagogue is their house. And all of a sudden this upstart from Galilee comes in with these four goofballs. And all of a sudden everybody in the house is saying, you got a really dirty house. Or, in the words of the gospel, he teaches with authority, not like you guys. You guys are all bums. You know, I mean, it kind of ticked him off. And already in the very beginning of the Gospel of John, Jesus in the synagogue is doing a couple things. He's confronting evil, and he's honking off the authorities. He's really setting stuff up. And I think that, you know, when you look at the issue of sacred space, he's in a sacred space, and he's proclaiming the good news of God. The first reading, and back to, you know, kind of the way that our scripture is set up, the first reading on a Sunday and the gospel are usually connected. The readings from the letter of Paul may or may not, but that's when they put together what they call the lectionary, the scriptures, those two, the first reading and the gospel, we're trying to connect. So what's happening in the first reading is the people of Israel are in a sacred space. They're in the desert. Now, it can be argued, I think, that the desert is a sacred space. The desert was a place of suffering and purification. But, for example, for some of the prophets, the desert is a place where God calls you and woos you and almost acts like a lover. So we got the desert as a sacred space. We got Moses addressing the people in the desert in that sacred space. We've got Jesus in a sacred space addressing the people. And I think that we got Jesus here in this sacred space addressing us as well. But the challenge for the people of Israel in the desert with Moses, the challenge of the people in the synagogue with Jesus, and our challenge here as well is a challenge of listening. I think there's a reason why we have two ears and one mouth. We're called to listen twice as much as we talk. We really have to listen and discipline ourselves to quietly listen to the power and the presence of God. Sometimes I think, you know, it would be a whole lot easier if I was in the desert with Israel and on Mount Horeb and had this fire, or if I was in the synagogue with Jesus and there was a demon that shrieked out and was driven out. Oh, that'd get my attention. That'd be a whole lot easier to listen to that than it is today. You know, I don't think so. For some reason, they didn't listen either. The children of Israel didn't listen. The crowds that followed Jesus, I mean, they had an agenda. They wanted to get something out of him, but it really didn't make a difference in their lives. In this sacred space, listening as we do, does Jesus make a difference in our lives? on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday rather than just what we do here on Sunday. So the one thing I just want to leave you with today is two ears, one mouth. The challenge to listen during the week to God. The other thing is when we hear about the mountain and we hear about the Mount of Horeb and you think about a mountain peak, the closer you get to the top of the mountain, the more steep the climb. Gets more and more difficult to make the climb. In the desert, the children of Israel called out, you know, we can't take this anymore. Just, you know, if we hear your voice one more time, if you have one more fire, if you do whatever, we're going to die. We just can't take this. How many of us in our journey have felt that at times? You know, God, if you bring one more thing into my life, it's going to kill me. How many of you said this to your children? If I hear mom one more time, I'm just going to die. You're going to be the death of me. I don't know if any of you have ever said that to your children. But you're going to be the death of me. But you know, just because you feel like you're going to die, think about it, you may be on a steep part of the climb. You may be actually getting closer to the Lord than you think that you are. Don't be discouraged if maybe you don't hear, or if you're challenged with sickness, or if you're challenged with fear or anxiety. You may be on the steep part of the climb. That's when we have to open our ears and double down on our listening. And to trust that within our heart there is also a sacred space. Not just in the desert, not just in the synagogue, not just here, but in the presence of your heart. A sacred space where Jesus speaks with authority to you. And that with the listening and with the opening of our hearts, we can hear that word speaking with authority to us. And we can take comfort in that. That we know that we're not alone. Because if you look at the remaining parts of the gospel, that first chapter of Mark, Jesus leaves the synagogue. And then the very next thing is he goes to Peter's house and heals Peter's mother-in-law. And then they bring the sick to him. And then he heals a leper. I mean, the beginning of the Gospel of Mark is all full of Jesus confronting evil. And as he does, he ticks off the authorities. Because he has dared to come into their house and challenge them. And they don't like it. The message of God may well challenge things within you too, within me, that maybe I don't like. But that's where I got to listen. Got to listen twice as much as I talk. I got to realize that sometimes the climb is steep. But that Jesus speaking with authority within me will lead me to life and not to death. He did not leave the children of Israel into the desert to die, but did lead them to the promised land. And we are beneficiaries of the confidence they put in God and their willingness to listen. May the generations that come after us be beneficiaries of our willingness to listen. May the Lord bless us, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.